It's time for the best football podcast on the web. It's Football NYC on YesNetwork.com. Joe Callow and former offensive lineman Ross Tucker give the best inside information about New York football and everything else around the league. And now, here's Joe Callow.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Football NYC. Week 2 is now in the books. Joe Callow, along with former NFL lineman, one of the co-hosts of This Week in Football on Yes, Ross Tucker. Ross, what a big week for our local teams. Big wins for the Giants. Big wins for the Jets. What do you think about the Jets game?
Well, and big weekend for you too, Joe. I can tell you were at the Giants game.
Jeez. I was. I was representing all the Giant fans down there in that fantastic new Roman Coliseum that was built by Jerry Jones. And boy, it was loud down there. I'm just starting to get my voice back.
I mean, what were you yelling the whole game? Did you paint your face? Did you support the team?
I was yelling before the game, 4 hours of tailgating, 4 hours of tailgating after the game. So it was a big weekend for me. And you know what? Before I left for the game, though, at my hotel, for the first hour, I'm watching the first half of that Jets game, and boy, was I really impressed with this Jets defense.
Oh, you have to be. I mean, at this point. And what I love about Rex Ryan is exactly what I loved about Buddy Ryan and the Philadelphia Eagles when I was a youngster growing up. You know, I'm from near Philadelphia. I just loved that aggressive mentality. I can handle it back in the day when the Eagles would give up a long touchdown because more often than not, their blitzing was going to be what got them the win. I just love that aggressive mentality. Kind of like that old Al Davis, Oakland Raiders owner, saying the quarterback must go down. He must go down hard. You know, that's exactly what Rex Ryan believes. Yes, they did not sack Tom Brady, but it was very evident to me, Joe, that he was uncomfortable back there. They had guys come. I mean, when Eric Smith knocks down Brady, you know Rex Ryan has some exotic blitz package. I mean, Eric Smith.
Yeah, what I want to ask you as a former player is I know the Jets come in with the scheme to be aggressive, and I know how they have the aggressive attitude now, but don't you need the players to make that work also?
Well, there's no doubt, but you know, if you do it this many times, this many years with this many players, you know, maybe at some point the scheme has a lot to do with it. I think there's a lot to be said, Joe, for just having a belief, having that confidence. I've been on teams where we were 0-4 or 0-5, then we started to win. And we all thought, we are good. You know, it's amazing. At this level, you think, well, they're pro football players. And yes, everybody is confident. But you become more confident in the guys around you as you have success. And all this brashness, this bravado, this trash talking, you know, these guys are hyped. These guys believe it. And all of them are more aggressive out there.
And I love the pass rush. I love the aggressiveness, knocking down Brady, even when he didn't have the ball, just to show him who's boss in this game. But also, it does help to have a cover corner like Revis, who's becoming one of the best in the game. I understand Wes Welker didn't play, and that really hurt, you know, Tom Brady trying to dump off some passes, but he really kept Randy Moss really, really out of this game.
He did, and it's funny because, you know, you make your picks during the week not knowing that Wes Welker's not going to play. I mean, that guy is a difference maker, although ironically enough, the Patriots have kind of a mini Wes Welker with this Julian Edelman, you know, this rookie undrafted free agent from Kent State. But Darrelle Revis, what can you say? I mean, to me, he is now up there probably right after Nnamdi Asamoah. With what he did the first 2 weeks, you know, this is not an aberration. It's 2 weeks in a row now. And look what Andre Johnson did against the Titans, who the Jets are playing this week. I mean, Darrelle Revis shut him down. He goes against the Titans, Andre Johnson does, and lights them up. Darrelle Revis just did it 2 weeks in a row against two teams who won their other game and are to have top five wide receivers.
Yeah, and what makes it even more impressive is that the Jets come into this game. Boy, I mean, everybody was, okay, Houston, we know the talent that they have, but Houston is still Houston. We're still waiting for them to make that jump. But they come into this game against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. Well, you knew Bill Belichick was going to study the film, and coming off Monday night's game, you really thought that Tom Brady was going to explode in this game. The Jets holding him to without a touchdown. And I want to ask you on the flip side, though, as much as I'm giving credit to the Jets, when you were observing Tom Brady, what were you thinking when we were watching him?
Well, everyone was going to point to the fact that he doesn't look like he's stepping into the ball that much. You know, he did that a lot before he got hurt. You know, people just didn't notice it. Now they're, you know, heavily scrutinizing everything he does. It's funny, though, Joe, because just hearing you talk, you say, well, you know, Houston's still Houston. Well, that's what they said the first week. So now what are they saying about New England? Well, New England might not be New England.
Can't.
Maybe it's the Jets. Maybe the Jets are pretty good.
That's right, and they have a tough opponent this week against the Tennessee Titans. They're coming in here off of two losses. Boy, who would have thought that coming into the season? Jets got a tough task again this week. What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I think this is a tough spot for the Jets. I really do. You know, you look at the Tennessee Titans, they're too proud and they're too good to go 0-3. It's going to be it's hard for me to fathom a scenario where when this is over, the Jets are 3-0 and the Titans are 0-3. If that happens, I'll be the first one to say I was wrong and I'll be floored. I like this Jets team, but I also believe to some extent in regression to the mean or the law of average in the National Football League. In other words, you know, we're not going to get to Week 10 and have several 0-10 teams and several 10-0 teams.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. So when I say it out loud, 2-1 Jets, 1-2 Tennessee sounds more realistic than 3-0 Jets, 0-3 Tennessee.
Yeah, and now when you take a step back and you look at the division now, you know, with this big win against the Patriots and the Miami Dolphins with that impossible schedule that they have, the Buffalo Bills actually are playing better than I thought they would this season, so the Jets are in a pretty good position, you know, just to step back and say, look, forget about the wild card, we could really make a run for this division. Coming up, we have some Giants talk. I was down in Dallas, I saw firsthand the Giants defeat the Dallas Cowboys. Joe Callow, Ross Tucker, Football NYC, baby.
Go to YesNetwork.com to check out the latest This Week in Football segment exclusively for the website. And while you're there, don't forget to also check out Gordon Damer Fantasy Gamer for the best in your fantasy picks. That's all at YesNetwork.com. And now some more Gridiron 411. Here's Joe Callow and Ross Tucker.
Welcome back, everyone. Football NYC Week 2 is now in the books. We already talked about the New York Jets with such an impressive victory against a division rival, the New England Patriots. Now let's get into a little Giants talk. The Giants spoiling Jerry Jones' big night. Jerry's world opened up. Giants ended it with a last-second field goal. Ross, what'd you take away from the game?
Really an impressive win for the Giants. It was. I mean, with all the hype that went into that opener, and you could just see whether it was Jerry Jones or Wade Phillips or any of the luminaries that were there, how important that was to the Cowboys to win that game. They forever in history, they wanted to be a victory. They wanted to complete the night, you know? I mean, it's like everything else was perfect. You got to finish the deal, you know? I mean, it's like you got to make sure you get the win. They didn't do it. And there's a lot of credit we can give to the Giants, and we'll do that over the next couple of minutes here. But you got to place some blame on Tony Romo. I mean, this guy is able to make some really, truly unique plays with his athleticism, but he also does some really dumb things. I mean, I have no idea what that first interception was to Johnson that was returned. I mean, that was a horrible – I mean, that type of pass my dad threw to me in the backyard when I was in eighth grade. I have no idea what he was doing with that ball. It fluttered on him. And then, you know, the Witten one, it was luck that it bounced off his foot, but the ball was behind him.
Yeah.
You know, that luck, quote-unquote, doesn't happen if the ball is put on him the right way.
And what I also thought was it came at the absolute worst time for the Cowboys because they, you know, the Giants come down, they kick a field goal, you know, but Dallas comes down, they score a touchdown, you know, they really want to start just piling it on the Giants, and then he throws this interception, a pick six, which you really don't do, and then they fumble the next kickoff. But then another thing about Romo is when he threw his, you know, the other interception, the Cowboys really had were starting to get a commanding lead in the game, and they were driving in. He throws this ball up in the air, and the run game was so effective.
Why does he do that?
Yeah.
He's from Wisconsin. I think he grew up loving Brett Favre. He did that against Baltimore twice last year in a game where they could have clinched the postseason. Honestly, it's like every once in a while, he just feels like chucking it. I don't understand it. And think about how devastated you are if you're the Cowboys, much like I feel about the Miami Dolphins in the Monday night game against the Colts, how bad it is to completely dominate up front on both sides of the football. The Giants couldn't run that effectively, and they couldn't stop the Cowboys' run, yet they won. I mean, we always talk, Joe, about how you win it in the trenches. I'm not sure that's true.
Well, I also saw that the Giants, as bad as they were running the ball, they really did a good job protecting Eli Manning. There was a couple times where he ran out of the pocket, but, you know, Eli Manning really never touched the floor, and he was really, really successful with passes over 10 yards. Boy, I mean, he had a great percentage with all these passes. Everybody's worried about the Giants and their downfield passing. You know how Steve Smith was coming up with some catches. And like I said last week, we all know Eli Manning doesn't really throw it on the numbers. And Mario Manningham is developing into a good wide receiver. So on the flip side, I did see the Giants' progression now with Eli Manning and these new receivers. But there's also a question. This is the second week in a row. you know, it's carrying over from last season. The Giants' red zone offense, boy, they get down to the 10-yard line, and I just start worrying.
Well, Eli really showed me something. You know, I've kind of gone back and forth on him, whether or not I think he's a top five quarterback. You know, there are times I think, oh, he definitely is. Other times I think, you know, he's got such a great defense, and he's got such a good offensive line and running game. Is he really that great, or is he just in a very fortunate situation? He kind of sold me Sunday night. I mean, very impressive. But to talk about the red zone woes, Joe, you know, everyone's going to talk about, well, Manningham caught 10 balls. Smith caught 10 balls. They don't miss Plaxico Burress.
Yeah.
You know where they miss Plaxico Burress?
Red zone.
In the red zone.
Yeah.
They need that 6'5 guy. You lob it up there. I mean, he used to come down with that, what, 3 out of 4 times?
Yeah. And their most successful red zone target last year was a tight end, Kevin Boss. And you know, you get a 1st and 10 on the 10-yard line. Give me a little play action. Maybe even try to throw it to Boss, because Boss catches pretty much everything that he throws at him. Instead, they run into the line. It's 3rd down. Eli drops back, and it's an incompleted pass.
Yeah, but they should not have these red zone issues or the short yardage issues that they have. They have a great offensive line,
yeah,
and they have a sledgehammer running back in Brandon Jacobs. I mean, we haven't seen a guy like this since Christian Okoye. I mean, when I was in my backyard pretending to be Christian Okoye, running over all my little friends.
Yeah, and the one thing I did notice about Brandon Jacobs is we all know that once he gets the ball, he's really hard to bring down, especially when he gets the first couple of steps.
Get some momentum.
And what I noticed down in the red zone is it just seems like the whole defense knows he's getting it, and they get into the backfield before Brandon Jacobs can really get into rolling, because we all know if he falls forward, he gets a couple of yards. So I'm pretty concerned about that. But on the flip side, you know, agreeing with you about Eli Manning, and I think that was the difference in the game, a better coach, a better quarterback, and this is why I always defend Eli Manning, because we also assume that every quarterback can do that. Every quarterback can just drive their team down in 2 minutes and win the game. Eli has shown us this time after time. He did it in the biggest game of his life. He did it on this big stage, which was the most watched regular season game in a long time. So Eli Manning may not be the prettiest guy to watch, but he's a great leader, and he really if you watched him on that last drive, you know, people always comment about him being emotionless, and he doesn't yell. He's not a rah-rah guy. But that also works to his, you know, that's also his strength and how he just leads men down. And, you know, if you need a field goal, he's going to get you a field goal. If you need a touchdown, like in the Super Bowl, he's going to get you a touchdown.
Yeah, it's funny, because the same exact thing he was criticized for his first couple years is his demeanor and the way he's on the sideline and no fire. Now it's a big positive. Now, look how calm, cool, and collective he is. It's amazing what a Super Bowl ring and a couple wins under your belt will do for you.
The Giants now stay on the road. It's a different kind of game. A lot of people will call this a trap game. I don't think that exists in football, but this may be a trap game. They're going down to Tampa Bay. What do you think about this week?
It's not a trap game. Tampa Bay's horrible. I will be extremely surprised if the Giants lose. I mean, Tampa Bay is really, really bad. You know, to lose that poorly, badly to Buffalo.
Yeah.
I think the Giants will be able to take this one pretty smoothly.
So Rossi is the Giants winning this weekend. The Jets having a tough game against the Titans coming up. We're going to look around the NFL. Football NYC, week 2. We're back.
Attention all high school football players. Log on to GoBigRecruiting.com, the new and simple way to submit your game films to the colleges of your choice. Forget tapes and DVDs. Upload your entire game online and get the comfort of notifications that the school of your choice watched the film. That's GoBigRecruiting.com. Now let's go around the league and see who's hot and who's not. Now back to Football NYC, and here's Joe Callow.
We are back, everyone. Football NYC, week 2 in the books, looking ahead to week 3. Joe Callow, Ross Tucker. Ross, I know you were excited to have the Chicago-Pittsburgh game last weekend. We also thought that Jay Cutler might have a tough week against the Pittsburgh defense. What'd you take out of that game?
He's an impressive guy. He really is. He needed to bounce back in a major way. I mean, with all the hype, I'm living out in Chicago right now, all the hype surrounding who this guy is and what he represents to this franchise, you know, the best quarterback since Sid Luckman. And they are looking at this guy to be a savior. He wasn't in week 1 against Green Bay, you know, with the 4 interceptions. He bounced back huge. I mean, and what was most impressive, Joe, was his willingness to just throw the check down, to just throw the short passes to relatively unknown guys like Johnny Knox, the rookie from Abilene Christian, or Kellen Davis. I mean, he was willing to take what the defense gave him. He didn't really push the ball down the field all that much because it wasn't there. I think the Steelers knew, you know, the strength of Cutler's arm. So they made him, you know, I think the Steelers' philosophy was make him drive the length of the field, he'll mess up eventually.
Yeah.
But he didn't, and he came up big in the red zone. Two times he was down there, and he saw the blitz coming, and he fit the ball into really small windows. Give credit to Ron Turner and the Bears for knowing, you know what, this is why we traded for this guy, to make the play in the red zone for a touchdown. Cutler was able to get it done. Obviously, Jeff Reed for the Steelers misses those two field goals. Yeah. Robbie Solid Gold makes his for the Bears. And that was the difference, which drives me nuts, Joe, that, you know, 51 big, strong men smash each other for 60 minutes so that two little skinny guys can decide who wins. But that's football, I guess. It's a flaw in the game. We got to get rid of this, Joe. We got to get rid of these kickers and punters.
And as impressive as Jay Cutler was, let's talk now about Drew Brees. Now, last week we gave him credit, given it was against the Detroit Lions. But this week he goes into Philadelphia, and I don't want to hear about Donovan McNabb not playing because he didn't have to face the Eagles' offense. He had to face the Eagles' defense, which is much, much more aggressive than Detroit. And he comes away with a great game again.
Yeah, he scored even more points against the Eagles than he did against Detroit. And obviously, Darren Sharper's interception return for a touchdown helped out. But this guy is playing really at a preposterous level right now. I mean, you watch the highlights. What's crazy is how often he throws it to a guy that's 100% covered.
Yeah.
You know, he just has so much faith, especially in a guy like Marcus Colston. You know, with his natural ability, Colston has a guy running on his hip. He's completely covered, and he's more than willing to throw it to his back shoulder, to throw it right over the head of the defender, and they're playing with a lot of confidence. And the other thing that really jumps out at you when you watch the Saints right now is Sean Payton. I'll tell you what, I mean, all these little bootlegs, the half rolls, they're moving the pocket from time to time with Drew Brees. It is very evident that Sean Payton, he's just feeling the rhythm right now. He's feeling his oats. He's feeling good. And it's almost like whatever he calls works.
Yeah, like I said, he's the perfect coach for this quarterback. I mean, he's a very aggressive, cocky kind of coach who likes to take chances. Drew Brees, as we all watch him play, we know he's that kind of a player. I also want to talk about some games coming up this weekend. I want to get your views on a big one that's going down that has the Indianapolis Colts against the Arizona Cardinals. This is going to be a night game. You know, Arizona looks like they got back on track after showing no offense really week one.
Yeah, and, what did I say? Yeah.
And, you know, and the Colts, you know, Peyton Manning, I mean, you know, there's only so much time that you can hold this guy down. You know, he's another guy like his brother, man. You just trust the game into his, you know, in his hands.
Right, and the Dolphins actually held him down for 46 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, unbelievable to me that the Colts can win a football game with less than 15 minutes in terms of time of possession. I'm excited for this one. You know, they're going to be throwing the ball all over the lot. And like I said last week, the big thing I told everybody, both on This Week in Football and the Yes Network, as well as here in our podcast, Football NYC, don't put too much stock in week one. You know, things can happen. I mean, I was getting emails, Joe, from people, should they bench Warner? Should they put Leinart in? Just relax. All the guy did was go out and complete, what, 93% of his passes? The other thing I'm fired up about, Joe, is the Niners at the Vikings. That's the game I'll be at.
Surprise of the season so far, the Niners.
Yeah,
huh?
And that's the game I'll be at in my duties as a color commentator on the Sports USA radio network. How about, who would thought that this would be the marquee game with two undefeated teams? 2-0 versus 2-0. And arguably, the two best running backs in the National Football League.
Yeah, and believe it or not, it's going to be the first big test for Brett Favre and the Minnesota Vikings because, you know, San Francisco has a defensive-minded coach, and they're really just playing hard for this guy, and I've been really impressed. Also, just want to hit on one more game, which looks really interesting this weekend. The Falcons are going up against the Patriots. I really want to see how the Patriots bounce back from this loss against the Jets, and the Falcons are just picking up where they left off last season.
Yeah, and it's kind of like what I said earlier about the Jets and the Titans. It's hard for me to picture the Patriots being 1-2. You know, losing the Falcons and the Falcons being 3-0. I just think in this league, it's very hard to go undefeated for a long time or to stay bad for a very long time or to play badly. And the Patriots, through 2 weeks, haven't been real impressive. I think at some point they will get their mojo back, and I'm sure the Falcons are hoping they wait a couple more weeks, but I don't know. I think it's probably time for Brady and company to start to get this thing going, especially if Wes Welker can play.
So Ross likes the Patriots going into this weekend. Week two is now completed. We look ahead to week three, a big weekend for New York football. Giants, Tampa Bay, Jets, Titans. Again, join us later in the week for the big Football NYC video broadcast. This has been Football NYC, YesNetwork.com. See you next week.